In the name of the holy, loving, liberating, and life-living God. Amen. Can you recall the first science experiment you ever did in school? Mine was in first grade homeroom with Mrs. Seek. Each of us was given a styrofoam cup filled partway with dirt, and then came a small packet of seeds to plant in the dirt in the cup. And after covering the seeds with more dirt, we used pencils to poke holes in the bottom of the cup and write our initials on the side of the cup. I'm curious, is any of this sounding vaguely familiar to any of you? After a good dousing with water, our cups of dirt were placed onto paper plates under a giant window by air vents on the ledge above our cubbies. I checked on my cup every day, watching, waiting, anticipating, and watching the other cups too. Was that something green poking out of the dirt in Abby's cup? Why was mine taking so long? Had I put too much water in my cup? Was it too sunny, shady, drafty? Were my seeds duds? What if nothing grows? It seemed to take forever, but as sure as day follows night, over the next few weeks, something small, tender, yellowish, green braved its way out of the dirt in my cup. And the same was true for my classmates' cups, and our relief and delight for each other were palpable each time a cup showed signs of life. And then eventually the day came when Mrs. Seek reminded us to please be sure to take our cups home with us to grace our window sills. The creations gracing our altar today are a far cry from those mini gardens in a cup. Today, there is no waiting or wondering about what, if anything, will poke its head up from out of the dirt. Like neon signs in Vegas or an arc of color announcing its presence in the sky after a storm, our eyes behold bold and bright, bursting and abundant, shining, vibrant light. Bare branches have surrendered to petals and blooms. Lenten purple has yielded to Easter white. And today, like most Easter Sundays of recent memory, is bright and sunny, if still cold. Resurrection is always announced with Easter lilies, the sound of trumpets, bright streaming light. Episcopal priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "But resurrection did not happen that way. If it happened in a cave, it happened in complete silence, in absolute darkness, with the smell of damp stone and dug earth in the air. New life starts in the dark. Whether it is a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb, it starts in the dark." Now, just a brief aside here. Whatever World Council decides what readings should be read when throughout our church calendar did give us the option this year to hear Mark's rendition of what happened on that first day of the week, an account that's simpler in many ways and definitely shorter. So for those of you who would have preferred simpler and shorter, my apologies. But you see, I had to stick with John's telling today, again this year, because I need to hear the words early on the first day of the week while it was still dark. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. I need to hear and to proclaim to you those five words in particular, while it was still dark. Whether a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb, resurrection starts in the dark. What happened to Jesus of Nazareth after his body was laid in the tomb happened in the dark, out of sight of human eyes, when none other and no other than the creator of the universe, the creator, source, force, energy, power of the whole universe, indeed, that which fills the universe, did what it does in the dark, in the valley, in the abyss. Because that is the nature of our holy, loving, liberating, life-giving God. That same oneness who, in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, breathes the world into being from out of the dark and chaos. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was unformed and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the breath of God, the Spirit of God, hovered over the face of the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And while today we celebrate the rising of the one whom they pierced, the truth is that resurrection is not just a one-time event that happened in Palestine 2 millennia ago. It's happening all the time, all around us, in the course of our daily lives, even and especially through our heartbreak and suffering, loss, and grief. Resurrection happens when we human beings are faced with the unthinkable, the unimaginable, our worst fears made manifest. When we find ourselves in the pit of darkness, walking, stumbling, falling our way through that valley of the shadow of death, grief, and loss, when we open our hearts to our pain, allow ourselves to be broken, when we grieve, process, and integrate it all, to eventually emerge, living and breathing on the other side, transformed. Our very suffering, the crucible of a new creation, our very selves hollowed out and broken open to reveal God's liberating, life-giving presence shining forth from deep within us. And that does what it does in the dark, indeed, that rises out of the dark. Resurrection happens when a woman faced with a diagnosis of cancer in midlife drags herself out of bed, out of the house, with the help of beloveds and friends, day by day, day after day, week after week, to get treatments, who finds maybe that knitting or gardening or writing is a helpful way to navigate and make meaning out of suffering and loss, and then discovers that her way of making meaning is a gift not just for her, but for many, many others. Resurrection happens when parents have adult children who live with mental illness and who find a way amidst all the challenges and struggles to live a full, abundant life, which includes being a support and resource to other families and people with similar challenges. Resurrection happens when a loved one dies, a spouse, a child dies, when a friendship or a marriage ends, when a job is lost, when a dream shatters, when a bridge collapses, and somehow, day by day, step by step, breath by breath, we find ourselves making our way, fumbling, stumbling through the dark. But the thing is, we don't know, at least most of us don't, that when we're stumbling in the dark, we're being resurrected. It certainly doesn't feel that way. All we know, all we can see, if we can see anything at all, is just the next step, and then the next, and then the next. Kind of like when you're driving in a car on a mountain pass in thick, dense fog. Only after considerable distance in hindsight can you say, "Oh, I was climbing. We were rising." At the time, all you know is that you're barely moving. And sometimes, if truth be told, you're really not moving at all. Sometimes when you're in the dark, you can feel so lost and so alone, you can barely breathe. And all you can do is be still. And maybe that gets to the heart of what we are celebrating and recollecting today, that God is with us, even there, especially there, in the tomb, in the dark. And when we, in and of ourselves, are powerless to rise, when we surrender to the dark, we make room for God's grace to raise us up. Another Episcopalian woman author, Annie Lamott, puts it this way: I do not understand the mystery of grace, only that grace meets us where we are, but does not leave us where she found us. About 100 years ago, an Anglican priest by the name of John McLeod Campbell Crum penned lyrics to an old French carol. Years before he wrote these lyrics, his first wife, Edith, had died unexpectedly after only 2 years of marriage, most likely related to the birth of their first and only son together. A few years later, John remarried, and he and his second wife, Emily, had 5 children together. And this is what John wrote. Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain, wheat that in dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again, that with the dead has been. Love is come again like wheat that springeth green. In the grave they laid him, love who had been slain, thinking that he would never wake again. Laid in the earth like grain that sleeps unseen, love is come again like wheat that springeth green. So when our hearts are wintry, grieving, or in pain, Jesus' touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love is come again like wheat that springeth green. Grace meets us where we are, but does not leave us where she found us. Alleluia, Christ is risen.